are listening to Am I the Boldcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering ever, and I won't have it any other way. I won't tell you otherwise. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might know me from my column, Am I the Bolus, over at CommandersHerald.com. And with me, as always, is my co-producer, co-host, Morgan Sanchez. Hello, super genius Morgan.
How's it going, Mike? How's the weather over there?
The weather is dreary. It's not rainy or anything. We haven't had snow yet, which is unusual this deep into November in Montreal. Yeah, I mean, global warming, if people deny it, they are wrong.
Some people like to play their snowlands. I get it. And unfortunately, it just doesn't look like it's going to be a thing. Interestingly enough, speaking of the weather and not Magic the Gathering, I want to stay on topic as much as possible.
I'll say I don't like snow at all, but what I do like is this. I'm enjoying the weather right now, despite it being worrisome. That's what I'll say. How's it out there in Chicago? What's the weather like in Chicago?
I have a fun weather story, actually. This one's gonna tickle you. But we got 4 inches of snow the other day. Okay, and then guess what? Something else. That's not the end of the story. All right, it gets better. 2 hours after we got those 4 inches, it rained.
Why?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I'm not even kidding. It rained, and so guess what happened to the snow?
It got icy. It's all ice.
No, it's melt. It's gone. All the snow's gone.
It's gone. Gone.
Yep.
What gone, is it? Gone. Hot rain.
Yep. It was 40 degrees of rain that went on that 4 inches of snow, and we have no snow no more. It's like it never happened.
I keep forgetting that it's always a split second of you going 40 degrees and me thinking, nice summer day.
Yeah.
Actually, Silkiest. A sweltering summer's day. That's like a bad day to be outside kind of weather.
Right.
40 degrees. Too high. My God, I cannot believe you guys got snow before we did. Up in Canada, Chicago's taking it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not anymore. Now it's just
not anymore.
Dreary.
We haven't even had like a whisper of snow. We haven't. Not even a little bit. And you know what? Part of me is like thrilled. Thrilled. Can't tell you enough how excited I am to not have to deal with snow. But I'm also just so terrified for the summer and the infrastructure and all the highways that get closed. Anyway, all the doom and gloom aside, Morgan, I do want to talk about a couple things with you.
Yeah.
I finally updated my Cardsphere stuff to include things that I want from Foundations. I've included a couple jumpstart things, despite them being exorbitently priced.
Who's your big booty beach bod guy person again?
Plague on Lord of the Beach. Well, Lord I got one beach. On the way. Shout out Gold Sabertooth. That guy's a good egg and a good pal, and he's sending one my way. He opened one with a misprint, no less, that I'm just going to slap in the command zone. And shout out to Gold Sabertooth. And he actually participated in a CDH event and went undefeated with his Plague on deck. And so it makes me excited to know that this might be my first step into potentially CDH, but I still build like a high-powered casual guy rather than a CDH guy. So it's an exciting card. But the one that I'm most excited about getting one after this is Rev Tithe Extractor, I believe is the full name. Rev, the one that turns all your creatures into Raghavan. It's a 4-mana mono-black creature. Yeah. Whenever you attack, target attacking creature gets Death Touch. Until end of turn, and then whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of their library. You may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and you make a treasure, I believe, unless it says it you can only cast until end of turn, in which case my bad. But either way, it's so good, considering I've got a bunch of decks that slap people, you know. No, it says you can play it as long as it remains exiled. Yep. I win. And it's one of the more treasure creatures token. You control. Yeah, so you get that treasure take. You get hit. It's like Timna in that you can slap three people and get three cards, but they're not necessarily your cards. And it's just exciting. I it's only cast, right? So you can't play a land, but who cares? I think the card is dope, and I'm just waiting for a day where this is not $75 Canadian. I have it up on Cardsphere at $10. And guess who is you know, waiting for it. Also, I can't get anything on Cardsphere right now because of the Canadian postal strike at the moment. So
that was an email that got sent out as well. That unfortunately, at the time of the present, we do not know if that is going to end before any time soon. So just a small update there for anybody who is concerned about that or has not heard of it. It doesn't look like there's any kind of end in sight for it.
I'm gonna be real with you. I don't expect there to be a time even projected.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, I think that we should give the post office whatever they want.
Yeah,
I think it's absurd.
Hell yeah. Hell yes.
It's a public service. People are like, it hasn't been profitable. It's like, without them, people don't get mail. There's
people
some
can't
places
buy
that are
stuff,
too-
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you care about the economy so much. I mean, it's like even some like Purelator or UPS, they don't go to everywhere. You know what I mean? So you got to rely on the post office. And guess what? These people deserve a living wage. I don't understand this whole argument of not having a living wage. I guess what? How many jobs do I have to make things work? It's disgusting. If you think people don't deserve to just be able to live off of one job. Anyway, speaking of the cost of things, with foundations coming out, we got news for MSRP being back, which is exciting.
Yes. So this was actually announced at the MagicCon Vegas panel that I was at. With everything. This was like the SpongeBob Secret Lair. This was the Final Fantasy set. This was like literally everything was coming out in 2025. And so it was a lot. And at the very beginning, this was towards the beginning of the panel, they kind of snuck in the fact that MSRP was coming back because I feel like it was probably one of those things where everybody's like, we want MSRP, but then there's the caveat of, well, nobody's going to sell X product at MSRP. Like the Final Fantasy stuff.
Right.
Good luck getting that at MSRP, my friend.
Good luck
getting it at like 1,000% over MSRP at the very least.
I mean, people are nuts over their Final Fantasy. And I don't understand it.
Well, I just know that I will be bankrupt come June. But in terms of like the actual MSRP,
so Morgan's going to need a job at the post office.
Right. If I will be participating in that strike by then, if it's still around, just to get a higher wage to be able to afford Final Fantasy product. But it's interesting because I'm looking at some of the announcement stuff for the MSRP. And so Foundations was the first set and Slash is the first set that is going to have MSRP. So stuff like a Play Booster, the MSRP.
That's going to be out there for 5 years at least in print, you know.
So this is all US, not the weird Canadian dollars that are not real.
Yeah, the ones that are worth so much less.
The Play Boosters MSRP is $5.25. Golly gee, my friends. Do you remember when booster packs were... Did you ever have an equivalent of like 3 for $12? Like 3 booster packs for like $12?
I mean, I guess so, but that's kind of like what the price is. What I remember is $3.99 for like old days booster packs, and then they went up to $4.99. And I was like, that tracks. It's been 12 years. So that to me is like, I guess we must have had a 3 for $12 promo for when they were $5 instead, you know?
So inflation taking everything to account. The other thing too is bundles MSRP is $49.99, which
is that tracks.
A pretty solid jump around $10 from what I'm used to paying.
Yeah.
The Jumpstart Boosters, $5.49. Not too bad. Now, with Innistrad Remastered, since this is a remaster set, it's not a quote-unquote mainline set, those Play Boosters will be $6.99, and a Collector Booster will be $29.99 MSRP.
Which I don't get, though, to be honest. It's a reprint set, and I guess it's like...
You're paying for new art and new treatments, I guess, right? The retro...
Yeah, but even then... Who's it? What? Okay, let me ask this. The remastered stuff, unless we're getting high value reprints like crazy in this, you know, like we know Edgar Markov has only been expensive because scarcity. It was printed, what, twice? And the second time it was printed
Commander
was
product.
Like some sort of, the first time was a Commander product. So it was only ever the head of the C-17 deck. And then I guess we wanted it to be etched foil somewhere. And we didn't get it. No, the second time it was printed was a Judge Gift promo.
Oh, my gosh.
So not even something that people could get their hands on. So now that we can get our hands on it with Innistrad, RIP. Now that we can get our hands on Edgar Markov at Mythic in a reprint set. I think that price is going to come down considerably because it's just like a card people held on to because like, well, what if I wanted to keep this to make a vampire deck? And then they realize they build it and then like, well, everybody hates this deck. And the answer
he is the best vampire.
Yeah, just pick a more interesting commander. Anyway, shots fired at Edgar Markov. I do love that.
Murders
Jack
at Markov
Hughes.
Manor.
It's the same one.
Yeah.
I love that Jack Hughes got the like serialized commission on this.
Yes.
And it looks so sick. It's gorgeous. It really is. But I'll never see that in person, I don't think. So shout out to anybody who opens that. I have no idea what to expect in terms of like what's coming from Innistrad that might be
so
something. I guess like Gitrog might see new art.
I didn't follow it as much, but for Ravnica Remastered, did that took from like everything Ravnica, right? So that even took from like more recent stuff, like just every Ravnica set.
I think it even took like, I guess the stuff that is eligible is even things that were printed in Commander sets that were set on Ravnica, like you know Commander 16.
That's dope.
You know. Yeah, which is pretty cool. So I guess like you have murders at Karlov Manor as part of it too. Yeah, but like
it is murders of Markov Manor. If that's not a card in the set, they just do like the one that's not a reprint. It needs to be that, like a saga or something.
But
I don't know.
Ever. I'm trying to get a look at the Ravnica stuff, and I'm seeing if anything jumps out at me. I guess Bruvac the Grandiloquent is a great example because Bruvac was in Ravnica Remastered, but was only ever in Jumpstart.
Interesting.
And the list, right? So like that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Where like, you know, Fibblethip the Lost, War of the Spark was on Ravnica, so that counts, right? So you can grab from War of the Spark and
so there's a lot of sets that have potential to be in here. A lot.
Right, exactly. There's so many. I'm trying to get I'm doing like a quick overview of them, but really it's, you know, it's standard, it's Ravnica. It's like it's stuff that makes sense on Ravnica. I think the original printings, all of these are either Ravnica or like printed the art or like the references Ravnica. So I'm expecting the same thing for Innistrad, but the person that I assume is the most excited for this is probably Angelo with his Innistrad cube.
Yes.
Like I'm hoping for more stuff for him that comes in like pretty versions, you know, just like how Karlov of the Ghost Council was only in a Commander 15 product before Ravnica Remastered. Now you get like this beautiful version of it that's available for you to purchase. And you know, hopefully Innistrad Remastered has somebody. I don't know, maybe Shil Gengar again, even though it just came out in Modern Horizons 3. But all that to say, Innistrad Remastered, not a set I'm particularly excited for. but I love Innistrad, don't get me wrong. And OG Innistrad is a great draft environment. I'm looking forward to drafting this product. I'm not like, oh, let's open it up for the value. I'm excited about a draft for Innistrad Remastered. I think that'd be pretty fun. But I also think that like the pretty versions of them or the new art can be a real pull into buying some singles. I just don't see it for me for anything else, really.
And because we are living in the future, Innistrad Remastered previews start today. So you can see outside of just the cool Edgar Markov treatments, some of the cards that are going to be in the set. You know, they slipped that in as like the here's the like boomer commander player card. I think
exactly.
That's like the pre-order 100%. Card.
And they got me.
People
they
are going to be
me.
Like,
you know
what
why?
Is that? Deadeye Navigator's not good, right?
Deadeye Navigator's not good anymore. No, it isn't. But I don't think it's like a bio box promo or anything. But the art is amazing.
The retro foil is.
Yeah, I live for it. I think the Deadeye Navigator OG, yes, it's a spirit, but I don't like it. It never quite felt like
a
spirit.
He looks like a guy rowing a boat. He's a guy rowing a boat.
Exactly.
That's not very ghostly of you.
Not my thing. I like the new art on it. Shout out to the new art. I'm sorry to insult anybody who loves the old art or Thomas Jedrusic. I'm sorry.
It's not bad art. It's just, we need a ghost rowing a boat.
The feel. Exactly. Do we have anything else we want to mention? I mean, we do have we could talk about Cardsphere because our registration link for Cardsphere is still in the description. I'm going to make like a link tree or something for the Bullcast so that you can follow our links to everything, including, you know, our promo code for for Bonebox Games. As long as that's running, you'll be able to click on that. And then, of course, our Cardsphere referral link and maybe our architect profiles, our socials and stuff, all on the link tree, very neatly tucked away on in the episode descriptions and our social media bios and stuff. So we're working on making that a little bit more streamlined. But before we dip into the conversation, Morgan, I always like to check in with you about this because we're talking Cardsphere. I know your list is long for the Odyssey block foiling process. Have you made any headway in the last little bit with anything coming your way?
It's really rough because what I did, and I'll be perfectly honest, was I kind of forced my partner, Dakota, to make a new spreadsheet for me. Because the original spreadsheet, this is really cute, by the way, he did make for me when we first started talking, and I told him I was collecting this set, and this was 5 years ago, right? So, of course, I'm nowhere near completion, and he made me this banger spreadsheet that has, like, the card name, what the card does, the color, the artist, you know, a little checkbox, and, like, a little note thing, so I can say, like, oh, you know, this one's a little messed up, so I want, like, a nicer copy, and, like, it's just really nice, and so I'll be digging more into that for the holidays, because... It's the holidays, y'all. You got to treat yourself. I might spend, drop $600,000 on a foiled Tarnished Citadel that's near mint if I can find one. But outside of that, my most recent Cardsphere experience is just me like laying awake at 2 a.m. and adding to cart. Some of the it's add to cart and add to wants. And I recently actually sold on Cardsphere's marketplace, which is where you can put the card and like, you know, I want 60 or 70% of the.
Yeah.
Normal price, a bunch of mystery booster stuff. So I have a lot of mystery booster cards on my haves list that I'm trying to get rid of. If you want to take a look, I'll put a link to my Cardsphere account because unfortunately we don't have the name just yet. But yeah, I've added a bunch of stuff, bunch of bulk, a bunch of random foils, mystery booster stuff that might be fun for Commander or your cube.
Yeah, I'll say, I don't know if you can hear me shuffling back here, but I'm looking for a card that I keep mentioning every time we talk about this. I've been going through my blue cards, and I know it's in here somewhere, but I've got that Think Tank in foil that I don't think that you have a copy of.
Think Tank. I'm not...
Bell, do you have that one already?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Tough to keep track of this stuff.
It's a lot... All the Cephalid stuff I want anyway, even if I have it, to be honest. So
I love Cephalid.
Yes. They got errated though, right? They're now Octopus. Shh.
We don't talk about that.
It's really rough.
We don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about it. How dare they? Why would they do that to us?
Yeah.
I'm so mad about it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just gotta have a favorite card and a card type that you really love. And then you kind of base your whole personality over that, you know?
And then Wizards goes and ruins it because they're like, you know what? Too many people like this.
Yeah. So you know what? There's sometimes you just got to be a person who is known for loving a thing and how beautiful that can be.
Speaking of...
I do hear the phone. We should take this call because the person on the line might be known for a card or two. Let's head on over to the lines and check in with our caller. Uh-oh, caller on the line. Who am I talking to? Who we got here?
Oi, oi, it's Emma Partlow. How's it going?
Oi, oi, Emma Partlow, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So happy you called in. What's going on? What's it like over in sweet old England?
Wet. There is
wet.
Rain.
Yeah. The classic response.
it's a very classic response. We do live in a puddle in England. Sunshine is rare. But yes, right now it's looking pretty overcast, pretty wet, which is to be expected in England in, I would say August, but for the most of the year, to
most
be honest.
Of the time. Yeah, it feels like that's all. What are the stereotypes you know about England? Very proper and gloomy. You know, it's just kind of what it is.
There is a reason we break the ice by talking about the weather. Like,
yeah,
that is the icebreaker in England. And everyone's like, what's the deal with that? And it's like, well, our weather is just so weird. Like, we're in the middle of like a bunch of different, you know, continents with weathers and stuff. So It could rain in the morning, but it could be beautiful and sunny. And then we're like, wait, what the hell? You know, where's our rain? Yeah. And then we just like, it's just so unpredictable. But people Absolutely. Just find it really weird. It's like, weather, that's not interesting. And it's like, it is when you live in a weird place like England, where it's just always unpredictable.
I'll say in Montreal, we run the gamut from either like too cold to too hot. And sometimes it's just like that perfect weather too. So we very similarly, you break the ice with the weather, not just because it's like the easy thing to talk about, but it's also because it's you're commiserating or celebrating a thing. You know what I mean? So it brings you closer to who you're talking to right away. Yeah.
We either start with nice day, isn't it? Sarcasm. Implying that it's terrible, or it's like, oh wow, the sun's out, we're gonna actually get some vitamin D in our skin for the first time in a year, this is great, let's do this.
Yeah, the all natural way of absorbing vitamin D rather than having to take the state issued vitamin D pills, probably. As I expect.
That
was a great mandate by one of the queens. Anyway, what a time.
What a time.
I know, well look, you're somebody that we know from being around magic, involved with magic, writing for magic. You're a podcaster, you are well known for a particular card, you are an entrenched magic personality. Just before we get too deep in, why don't you tell our audience listening a bit about yourself and where they could check you out, and then we'll get into chatting about whatever you want to talk about. You called in, this is your show now.
Okay, so I'm Emma Partlow. You may know me as the person that writes stuff for TCG Player. That's where most of my content is these days. Right now, I am the content editor for TCG Player, so that means I get to lead the magic vertical, so I pitch all the ideas, I write some stuff, I have a small writing team, we write some cool, fun magic content, and I've been doing that now for about 18 months. Before then, I was just like a freelance writer. I wrote for TCG Player at this point, but I also wrote for some other places, and I've slowly worked up the food chain to this point. As where you can find me, honestly, like right now, the best place to find me is on Twitter, as much as I want to be apprehensive of that, because it's slowly regressing into something unusable. So you can find me at Emma D. Partlow on Twitter. I am also on Blue Sky. I don't use that one as much, just because I tend to use Twitter for work, because it keeps me up to date, despite how terrible it's becoming. So that's the best place to find me. There's tweets about Cube, there's tweets about cheese, there's tweets about Mole God, there's tweets about Simpsons. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Best place to find me.
Well, I want to throw in there your podcast that you run with our sweet boy Callahan Jones and of course the rest of the crew. They're escaping me right now, but you know what? Remind me of the co-host.
Mod Anon, which is Dan.
Mod Anon.
And then you've got Black Girl Mage, but she's not on it as much these days. Usually it's Cal, myself, and Dan. That's it.
So I just finally loading on the Twitter page here, and it's like, there you are. There we go. Cal looking exhausted, and then all three of your headshots, Emma, Modernon, and Black Girl Mage. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Well, I am embarrassed for having forgotten, but who I see most, and sorry about that. But that said, there's another thing that you're quite known for in the magic community, aside from your peasant cube, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That's a big part of what I see when you post online. I'm like, this is, you're talking cube. I know that this cube, you got the
best
peasant
magic
cube.
Format. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We can dive into that a little bit. Best magic format cube. I get it. I'm with you. I think the renaissance of like a cube era is very healthy for us right now.
We are very fortunate. We're also very fortunate to have Daybreak Games, who now run Magic Online. They're doing a really good job of just maintaining the vintage cube, which is the most popular cube there is.
Absolutely.
But just because there's like Wizards have also done a good job of just printing loads of new and exciting cards. So you have things like Universes Beyond. So it's like, cool, I could build a Universes Beyond cube. Yes. There's all these secret layer printings. You could start a secret layer cube. Downshifts happen all the time. So peasant cubes get to become quite powerful, as I would know, because I run a peasant cube. There's a lot more flexibility and fun you can have with cube. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen pre-booster fun era, in my opinion. That might be a take, because I know some people are upset with the product overload and stuff like that. But I think it's a really cool way to innovate if you're really into cube.
Totally. I do think that, like, we are in an era of product overload and also people getting mad at not being able, like, Mystery Booster 2 not being widely available, but also people being like, there's too much product, and then being
the
like,
monkey port,
why can't we buy this? Yeah.
The monkey port is curling.
It truly did. It's a very silly topic altogether, really, but it is felt by the community, and I do feel like that inundation of product is what is pushing people to be like, okay, I want to do a cube. I think that's what I'm going to do now. I can't keep buying all this product and being part of it all the time, so I'm going to get hyper-specific with what I like, and we're going to get all the pals together, you know, once in a while to make it happen. Like, Angelo Guerrera, who's got the Innistrad cube, which I'm so excited to play again next month.
Yeah.
It was such a blast and being able to play it was, it, you know, you experienced the cube. You're like, is every cube a labor of love like this? And it's like, it has to be.
Yes.
It has to be.
It has to be. The way I kind of, you know, do a pitch for cube. Mm-hmm. The best way I describe it is that you're building yourself a Magic the Gathering board game, but you get to choose the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And
snaps over here.
You get to, you know, choose what kind of cards you want, what kind of treatments, who are you looking to accommodate. And the best thing about cube is you could just build it and not upgrade it. You could just leave it alone and put it on the mm-hmm. shelf and forget about it and then play it in a year with, like, with your old Magic friends or something like mm-hmm. that. It's very similar to something like a time capsule, which is what I like about Peasant Cube, because I'm planning to keep my cube if I ever leave Magic. I don't think I will, but if a mm-hmm. point comes where I move on to something else, I will still keep my cube. And it's like, oh, I can get my friends, we can play with these commons and uncommons, you know, from way back when. And it brings a lot of nostalgia. So cube is pretty fun because you just get to have control over that gameplay experience, which is something that's very unique in Magic.
Totally.
And it's another reason why Commander is so good as well, because you get to incorporate that mindset into Commander and play it with other people.
I'll say having like a solid play group has definitely pushed some of my friends into experimenting with like rule zero commanders.
That's it. I think for me, it's just more of a like, okay, this is, you're cooking with something. I want to see it happen. And if I lose in like the first 10 minutes, it's like, okay, great, fine. But curiosity is sated. You know, like what level this is, but you know, I think we should definitely be more curious in Magic, especially in Commander, and just let people have these moments. It's rare that you're going to get pub stomped. It's just like, yeah, these two just sound silly together. Let's go.
Exactly. That said, I do think that as enfranchised players, like, I think we gravitate towards the more novel ideas because it's something that we, you know, we haven't thought about, or it's not something that we've experienced before, and that makes something fun and new again. And that's why I had a chat with AD DeFazio a little while back, and he was talking about how his decks are like little games to kind of bring to the table on their own. And he sets himself goals for it to feel like he won, even if he's not even close, you know. And I think that that's a philosophy I've enjoyed kind of adopting and being pretty stoked with the results of, like, hey, if I get to make like 30 clues with Tesa Karlov, the Tesa Opulent Oligarch, hey, I'm happy about that, and that'll make me feel like I won, even though I did get knocked out in, you know, the five turns or whatever.
Plus you have some like flavor wins as well, right? And then you've got stuff like when you Chaos Warp something, or someone Chaos Warps you, and it's like revealing off the top, and it's like your best card, and it's like, oh my god, mm-hmm. and it just creates that narration and that excitement.
Have you ever seen a Chaos Warp flip the same permanent before?
Yes.
Isn't that the most exciting thing you can imagine?
This is it. And sure, it's like, oh my god, we've sent like 3 minutes shuffling up and revealing the same cup. But it's like, yeah, it brought excitement. It brought narration. You're going to remember that. And I think whenever you have a game of Magic that does that, it's served its purpose. It's done the thing.
And that's what we're really after. Like, we started while Emma was setting up for the call. we were just talking about, man, I love Magic. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just so good. It's just so good. It's the best game that's ever been, that at least I'm going to say it for myself for sure.
Yeah.
I think it is. Before we dive into the meat of the podcast and chatting about your Magic pet peeves or a story where you might be the villain, where you may be the bolus, I do want to ask you two questions.
Sure.
And you can answer them in any order you want.
Okay.
First question is, what is currently the deck that you're most excited about playing? Your commander deck that you're most stoked about, maybe a recent thing or something that you've rediscovered recently, and what deck is that? And then the second one is, you're known for a particular card. In fact, an unknown event card was made for you based on this card. And I get why it's so good. I love this card too, but I want to hear why you, Emma Partlow, love the card that I'm not going to tip the hat on. You're going to get to tell everybody who, you know, it's not going to be a surprise because people who listen and know you.
So let's fire off with the first question. So I've got a couple of answers to this one. So the first one is Andrag the Quake Mole, which is the commander deck that I'm kind of known for now. Back when Karlov Mana previews were starting, Mark Rosewater released his, here's some fun facts about the set on his Tumblr, you know, and here's some weird creature types. And I was like, wait, there's a mole god? Excuse me?
Mole god, yeah.
And I was like, I don't care how good or bad it is, I'm building this. Because it just sat in a vacuum, it just sounds so ridiculous that you have a mole that is also a god. Like, come on. Yep. Like, in my mind, I'm like, this is fantastic. I want to build this. So I built that post Karlov Mana release. And I'm not a big rule player, to be honest. Like, I play green in Commander, but not in a gruel smash, I'm gonna punch your face kind of way.
Totally.
So it was also really different for me, and I really enjoy the deck. It's a lot of fun. It wins games because it uses combat, which is something that's very underused in Commander. People should be attacking on a side note.
That feels like a bit of it stings me as somebody who's like an aristocrat, make everything an engine.
If you're winning the game, cuts. That's fine.
I agree, I also
like
combat
lunch.
Is underused.
I like lunch, so so yeah, Andrag the Quake Mole, it's the one deck I've had since like February, which is when Karlov Mana came out, and it's now August and I still love playing it. It's almost foiled out. I've just slowly like picked stuff up for it. And
I did see a tweet this morning of stuff that you just got. Yeah, that's awesome.
Some of it signed as well. I'm starting to get some of it signed out. Going to see if I can get an artist proof of the actual Mole God. That would be something cool to celebrate.
Hell yeah.
The other deck that I'm really looking forward to like playing, I'm building it slowly at the moment, is Omo from Modern Horizons 3. The Simic Face Commander, Queen of Vesuva. Yeah, so she puts everything counters on basically everything.
Yeah.
Very cool design for Simic, very different, which excited me. But I'm not going to build it per the pre-con. I'm building it as a quick origin story. I play a lot of Modern, and I'm a big Tron player. I love playing with Urza lands. So Omo is going to be my Tron deck in Commander, because everything's going to turn into a Tron land. Therefore, I can play all these Eldrazi, especially the ones that just came out in Modern Horizons 3. I get to play Null Drifters and Ulamogs and all this stuff, and it's going to be great. So yeah, I'm going to build that. That's going to be my Modern Commander deck, if that makes sense. It's the Commander deck that I from something I play at Modern. So that's going to be really fun, because I've been playing Tron since 2016 at this point. So it'd be nice. It'd be nice to just have a commander deck. It's like, yeah, this is what I play in Modern. I'm just going to throw spaghetti at you and have a good time. and as for the second question, so Fraben Inspector is my favorite card of all time. It is a common from Shadows Over Innistrad. It's a 1/2 for 1 in white. ETBs, it makes a clue token. It's very simple, very elegant.
Very.
Love the scowly face on the Fraben Inspector in the art. I think that's very good as well. And it just says to me that, you know, magic doesn't need to be complicated to be good. Like, the card itself is just very simple and very classical in a way. It reminds me of a lot of older magic cards that you don't really get today. And at this point, when Shadows Over Innistrad was released, I was playing a lot of standard. Azorius Monument was one of the standard decks I played a lot at the time. It ran Raven Inspector.
Mm-hmm.
So Azorius Monument was like this Azorius tempo deck. You ran the card Ketra's Monument, if you're familiar with that from Amonkhet. It's an uncommon.
The one that makes cats when you cast creature spells?
Yeah.
And reduces cost of white creatures.
That was a standard deck at the time, but it was a very tempo flash style deck. Very reactive, which is how I like to play Magic a lot of the time. And you would play Raven Inspector in these decks because it's a one mana, and you had a load of blink stuff as well, so you could blink Raven Inspectors and make more clues and things like that, which is another way I like to enjoy playing Magic.
And when you're playing at flash beat, what better way to use your mana than to not have to use it at all and then get to crack a clue?
Yeah, right. This is it.
Yeah.
See, you get it. You get it.
Oh, I get it. I could never. I could never, but I get it. I don't have the patience. I am a gruel man at heart, but I don't play it at all. I can't.
Like, that's the way I like to play blue in Magic. I'm not a traditional control blue player. I find that fairly boring to me. If people enjoy playing that, good on them. Everyone should play Magic how they want to. But for me, I find it very, I just don't find it exciting. But when you put it on when you put like a counter spell on a 2/3 that has flash, I'm like, I'm in. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I like playing creatures. I want my creatures to do stuff. This is why I love Mold Drifter. Mold Drifter's another great card. You know, I wouldn't play a Divination, but I would totally play a Mold Drifter because I can ephemerate it and get some more cards. But going back to Raven Inspector, it's one of my favorite cards. It's a card that I play a lot. Carlisle Manor also released another version of it called Novice Inspector. Literally the same stats and the same text, just a different name. So thank you, Wizards. And at Magic on Amsterdam in June, Gavin ran an unknown event and he created the Inspector, which is my unknown card that turns all creatures into Fraybird Inspectors, essentially. So you get to sack them for clues and draw cards. Yeah. And it's just absolutely perfect. I need to build it for Commander at some point. I just haven't got round to it. But yeah, it's a one mana 1/2, a common, you know. I'm a big part of Pauper as well, being on the Pauper format panel, so that's a very symbiotic card for me in a lot of ways.
I love that. I love it. It's just so fun when somebody's got a favorite card that they become so known for.
Yeah.
And it just is like, even especially if it's a card like, look, Thraben Inspector is no surprise that it's this powerful. It's a card that, like, when it came out, people were like, is this for real? Okay. Power creep much. And then now we look at it, we're like, oh, is this still good? And you're like, yeah, it's still pretty freaking good.
It's a vintage cube, dude. It must be good. Yeah, like,
it has to be. Yeah, and then you watch, like, anybody doing a draft online for MKM, and you're like, Novice Inspector picking it up, like, over the rares. You're slamming it. You're like, okay. But that said, like, you know, there's some people out there who are known for a certain commander. Some people are known for like another card, and everybody who's got that card that's associated to them, just like ask them why, and you'll get the impassioned excitement for it, just like we got out of you. And I love that. It's very fun. It's very fun to have that card. And I keep trying to think like what would be my card, and I hate saying that my card is just so generic. Mine is the Phyrexian Altar. But Phyrexian Altar is also like, well, yeah, of course you like that one. You know what I mean? It's just, it's literally, that's it. And I could go on, but I don't think it's a good one. That's the thing. It's like, hey, your favorite card is exceptionally powerful. Okay.
That's fine. I know people's favorite cards are like Power 9. I'm like, great. If you enjoy playing with power, go for it. Like, I like
love me a Black Lotus.
I mean, I'm more of a Time Warp girl, but. Yeah, I can see those as well. I prefer Time Walk myself, but
yeah, Time Walk gives you a little bit more mana than
it's Blue Explore. So
Yeah, that's really what it is. That's
really
what
it is. Yeah.
Well, Emma, you called in. I'm assuming that you have something to discuss with us here at Am I the Bowlcast, where you get to ask us whether or not you are the bowlers for either a story or your opinion, your pet peeve about Magic the Gathering.
So I have a pet peeve.
Hit me.
So my biggest gripe, so this is Commander, my biggest gripe is just the duration of games, in the sense that if anything goes over 2 hours, I am just out. I'm like, can we just start a new one? And I think my biggest gripe is that there's no like nice way to say this, so this might make me the bolus. People don't play Commander to win games, if that makes sense. And a lot of the time, people like to take game actions, and those game actions take a long time, and nothing actually happens. And I'm like, I'm here with Anzrag the Quakemile. I'm here to like end things so we can shuffle up and start again. You know, I'm someone that would easily take 2 90-minute games over a 3-hour one. That is like that is it's more magic when you think about it.
Makes sense,
right?
Yeah.
And my biggest pet peeve is when people play Cyclonic Rift because people don't play that card properly.
Right. Now, Cyclonic Rift pet peeve is one that a lot of people who play a lot of Magic share.
Yeah, but my issue, like, it's not with the card itself. Like, I think the card itself
is fine.
It's how
it's played.
It's how it's played. People don't play Cyclonic Rift, to win games. They play it to not lose games.
Right.
And if they're not losing, it means they're not winning, which means you're just adding extra time onto something that could have just, you know, the game could have ended. So, like, I have no issues with the card Cyclonic Rift in what it does in the texture of Commander.
Of course.
It seems fine. But people just see it as, like, this emergency button. It may as well just say, restart the game for 6 mana, 7 mana, or whatever. So I don't play tons of Commander. I play enough. But every time it's just happened, I'm just like, can we just start a new game? Is this actually going anywhere?
It's not an ink shield. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, there's a difference between you're farewelling because you're in at a disadvantage and you have stuff in your hand that's going to make it go your way. That's how you play that card. Cyclonic Rift, you're getting rid of blockers so you can get through and punch some people. Or like you've got a couple planeswalkers that are about to ultimate and somebody's coming in for an attack and you're basically using it like an Aetherize. Like there's instances where totally fine and expected play, but for someone to like not use it as, you know, like I said, ink shield, where you're turning the tables and ending the game, you're just effectively taking a lot more time from people. But I will say the way you framed it is not quite how we've had it on the show before, and I want to take a moment to address that because I think it's interesting how you did this.
Okay.
You said, I would rather more games, like three 1-hour games than 1 3-hour game.
Yeah.
And so when people do the Cyclonic Rift and add that time to the clock, you know, you're not necessarily upset that you're still there. You're not necessarily like, hey, you know, it's going to go to 3 hours. It's like, I would rather segment it so that we better use our time.
Yeah, basically. I'm someone that appreciates quantity when it comes to these things. Like, the quality, I think the quality and quantity is, like, pretty close in Commander because you can have some really good games that finish really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, so this, what Cyclonic Rift does that I hadn't really quite put together until just now, that just you're replaying the same thing.
Yeah.
This reminds me of something that Patrick Sullivan mentions on Resleevables that maybe Ben Wheeler has covered on Shivam and Wheeler Love Magic, talking about spell shapers and how boring is it to keep playing the same thing. Buyback is a hellish mechanic that Patrick Sullivan does not care for because how boring does the game become when you're doing the exact same thing? Now imagine you're not just doing the same thing, but you're replaying the same game that just took that long, or at least playing a version of that same game again, because somebody just like hit the emergency button. And because it's already taken like, what, 40 minutes to get to that point, you're kind of seeing the same first plays that the people are
making.
Basically, and
you're repeating it. You're repeating the game, basically. And
you're
at
repeating
that point,
it.
I'm just kind of checked out. You know, sorry.
Because
sorry for people at home who like to do that, but to me it's just like, cool, like, can we just sleep up and just shuffle up and start again?
You're seeing the first 5 minutes of the like of the rebuilding,
you know,
and
I
to
have.
You it's like it's the 40 minutes we just spent. That's what it feels like. It feels like now we've turned time into this like the
also
the
you
tiniest...
can just like get another commander out and start a completely different game with a different commander and everything Huge. Else. So yeah, Huge. That's my biggest pet peeve, just how people misplay with that card, because it just adds time to something that shouldn't add time. That's my biggest pet peeve when it comes to commander.
So I guess in a general sense, the time management of it is like a big
deal. I understand commander is a very social game, and when anything's social, that adds time to stuff because conversations happen, bargaining happens, politicking happens. I understand that. But I do feel like, if going back to talking about Anzorak the Quakemaw, if people were much more aggressive in commander, it wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. If you're getting life totals down,
commander damage exists for a reason. Use it.
Oh my god, the amount of god. Whenever I think of somebody being like, we should get rid of commander damage, I'm like,
no.
You've never played against a life gain deck or a pillow fort. You know what I mean? Like, you can pay for a sphere of safety or ghostly prison on one creature and still take out the biggest threat at the table. You know what I mean? You could punch through all the life gain if you somehow manage to keep your commander on the board and get in, you know, for the most part, like four times, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an important part. Have I ever won by commander damage with Prosper Tomebound?
Probably not.
But have I had to try going for it because that was the only viable option? Yeah. And it added this tension rather than this like doom and gloom of it? Mm. Yeah, totally. Like, it was a long game, but I kept trying and lost very quickly after I started trying, but you gotta go for it. Like, it adds this, like,
there comes a point there needs to, I always feel like commander could always do with some inevitability, just coming from like a constructed 60 card background. I always feel like commander could do with some inevitability where someone just needs to flip the switch and go, I'm gonna do this. Can somebody stop me? A la Arch Enemy, Am I the Boulder style? I feel like, I think people would enjoy Commander a lot more if, you know, there was that in mind. But I'm not going to tell people how to play Magic, because it's your hobby and you should do whatever the hell you want. You know, you're putting time and money into this. You should get what you want out of it. But on a personal note, please play Cyclonic Rift properly, for the love of God. Like,
it's interesting.
Just think of the time it takes.
Yeah. The concept of inevitability. And that's what Cyclonic Rift threatens, is that the inevitability is now way further out. The inevitability is already stretched out by like an extra 40 cards in this format. You know what I mean?
The inevitability is bounced with the Cyclonic Rift at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a topic that ruffles the feathers of those who get to play the game enough. And then also, I guess, like, those who are focused on racking up W's might be like, well, no, I want to play, I don't want to lose, so I'm going to play the Cyclonic Rift when I'm clearly still probably going to lose in three turns. But what if...
That is my pet peeve with Commander. Grant and I play a ton. I play enough to get an understanding of it. It's just how people play that card. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, literally, what are we doing here? People will like you if you lose. Like, you don't have to win to be likable. You just got to be fun.
Totally.
Simple as that.
Great way to put it.
Yeah.
I keep thinking back on nights where, you know, you get excited to go to Commander Night and you're like, we're going to get in 3-4 games. I'm going to bring 4 decks. Yeah. Maybe I'll get to play 3 of them. Maybe I'll get to but 2 of them, but I'm going to bring 4. And there's the prospect of possibly being like, I don't know, I built this new one. That one's the first one I'm going to try. I'm going to bring Old Faithful. I'm going to bring one that I'm excited about. And then I'm going to bring the wild card and we're going to show up to Magic Night. Okay, let's have some fun. I think we're going to have a good time. And then you sit down and the first game takes basically the whole time. And you're like, I brought 4 of these. I brought 4 of these thinking.
Yeah.
I'm just
like, come on. As I think Rachel Weeks puts it in a good way. She says, you know, you should bring something old, something new, and something blue when it comes to Commander Knights. And I think that's a good way of putting it. But yeah, when you're in your mind, you're like, cool, I want to try these 3 different decks. I actually played with one and it's, you know, it wasn't what I expected. Of course you're going to get frustrated because you've already set yourself these expectations even before you started going to Command Nights with your friends.
Right.
I get the frustration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we summed it up pretty well with the Psych Rift and the time management of it, the respecting of other people, and you know,
it's respecting people's time. You know, we all have jobs, we all have commitments, we all have commitments that we may not want to do, but we have to do. So that time we do get to ourselves is quite important. And I value my time over reassembling a board 45 minutes after someone side grifted and having closed out the game.
Yeah, especially like, here's a peek into my world as with my play group at home, right? I'll play games online with friends online.
Yeah.
A bunch, you know. Those guys are people like that, right? For, you know, EDH Rec or Commander's Herald. We have a Discord where, you know, we work buddies. We're like, hey, let's discuss some stuff while we play a game. And we'll throw it in the LFG chat and we'll be like, here we go, let's play some, you know, or you know, I'll end up at a con and I'll play a bunch of games there. But getting my play group together, it used to be that we'd met every Sunday 10 years ago and like, you know, for a while. And then I moved away, came back, pandemic, all this stuff, life gets in the way. Some of them sold their collections and only borrowed decks. But it is kind of like pulling teeth to get the crew together. And so when it finally happens and everybody's like, you know what? The stars have aligned and everything is great and we're all here and everybody shows up with a glint in their eye and they're like, oh, I haven't been here in a while. Did you paint since last time? And like, oh my God, what's this playmat? Oh, what? Okay, sit down. What's the deck you have to lend me? Oh, I haven't even seen this card. There's the excitement in the air.
Yeah.
And then you get everybody to start playing and then somebody plays a Cyclonic Rift and does it wrong and the phones start coming out because it's like a 3-hour game. And then we're like, yeah, I guess, do you guys want to like go play pool or something after this? And you're like, oh no, this was the plan. We were supposed to do this for like 6 hours. No, it wasn't supposed to be boring.
One game in 6 hours sounds horrific.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was supposed to be like, you know, 5 games in a day, you know, but it's like, didn't get there, you know.
See, this is why I like Cube, because you're going to get those 3 rounds in.
Yes. Yeah, you have to. I will say something that I love about Cube, that I could do the draft part and then not play the games.
That's the best
bit.
And
I'd be fine. It really is.
Drafting is the best part of Cube. Like, playing the deck is fine and sure.
It's fine.
You know, it's fine, but getting to choose the cards and put them in your deck and think, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this stuff with Soul Herder and Fraben Inspector and Moldrifter. And it's like, yeah, this sounds great. But when you go to playing it, it's like, oh, actually, I just want to draft the same deck again. I want to do that.
Yeah, I want to see what other direction I had then. It's Cube is so interesting in the way that, like, I don't draft much. I'll do a sealed for pre-release, but I watch so much drafting content. I'm always watching Kenji, Numat the Nummy. I'm watching LSV. You know, whenever I see a new set is up, like, or, oh, he's doing Vintage Cube again. Like, let me put it on. Let me watch this. I'll do one once in a while and just be, okay, I don't know this format. I jumped in too early. I just don't feel smart about it. But then I sit down for a Cube and I'm like, I don't know people. I don't think people know here that I might be a secret little genius. You know what I mean? You're like,
yeah.
Like, I feel so smart when I'm drafting a cube, but then really it's like the person who put together this cube really made all the dots connect.
Yeah. The thing I love about Cube, it is the peak vibes format. Like, you can play Cube and you could be like, I fancy drafting mono red today. I just want to fire blast people and, you know, beat people down with Monastery Swiss Spears. I'm in that mood today. I like lunch, so I want to play this. I want to play red. And you can do that. You can just force mono red, or you could be like, I fancy being greedy today. I want to play the most greediest mana base, 5-color pile, multicolor dot deck I want to. You know, you could also do that. And just because, and the thing is with Cube, like, sure, it has become competitive of late, thanks to Daybreak and all these feeder leagues for MagicCon Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You can just turn up and just be like, I'm in the mood to do this, and that is fine. You know, it ignores the competitiveness. Like, sure, you like free-owing a draft is a great feeling. I've done it a few times. It feels nice. But if you get to do that thinking, yeah, I just want to mess around and play, you know, mono white aggro or something. I'm in a silly cheeky mood. I'm going to do this, and then you're like, oh, I won't free-o anyway. That feels great. And just Cube is just a really good way of just be like, I feel like doing this. It's completely different from all the other stuff I do in Magic. And you can just And this is what I do on Twitter when I'm like, when I do my pack one pick ones for my vintage cube, I'm like, what is the pick, the best pick in the pack? Mm-hmm. And what's the fun pick? Fun pick implying, what are you in the mood for? Because mood isn't important, because if you're playing a cube, you want to play the things that you want to play. And that's what makes it enjoyable. Again, very similar to Commander.
Right. Because I'm looking at my stable of commanders and being like, I don't know if I feel any of these today. Let me go into the archives or see if I can maybe borrow a deck or something. That's also a vibe. I think cube, it's kind of like, you know, I've never been one for meal prep personally. Like, as much as you love lunch, I love it too. but I never quite, like, I understand what meal prep is supposed to be. And I understand that it's also got an element of like, suck it up. But I'm also very much a mood guy.
Yeah.
And if I wake up and I'm like, I'm in the mood for sushi, I'm going to get sushi.
Oh, yeah,
but if I was also like, I meal prepped sushi, and then I wake up, I'm like, I can't even look at a fish. You know what I mean? I'd be like, and that's the perfect thing. Like, that's how my brain was like, yeah, what Emma's saying about cube reminds me about how hungry I am.
But no, just having those vibes, you know, when it comes to like cube and commander, it kind of makes things feel more authentic and more enjoyable, because you're just letting you're listening to your body, and which is, you know, a good thing to do in general. I could talk about cube for hours. It's literally the most fun way to play Magic. My peasant cube's great. I'm also building another cube very slowly as well.
What's this one?
So it's a modern cube. Nice. But it's I call it the modern FNM cube. It is a cube of modern cards from 2016 backwards. So it's pre-modern horizons. It's that era of modern. So you got your Juns, you got your Splinter Twins, you've got Infect, you've got Bogles, you've got like the Jeskai control piles, you've got, you know, that stuff. It's the classic time capsule 2015 2016 modern. And another thing with cube, you can, thanks to Wizard Print and all these different variants of cards, you can really express yourself now. You can do that in Commander. We do that with all these fancy foils and secret layer printings and things like that. With the modern cube, it's all just going to be non-foil, original modern boarded printing. So it's going to have the original Zendikar fetches.
Yeah.
My basics are going to be original full art Zendikar, because that's what everyone had at the time when I got into modern in 2015.
The only full art lands at the time.
It was either that or Unhinged, but I saw a lot more Zendikar than I did Unhinged. And the Shock lands are going to be signed by Rob Alexander, because everybody had signed Rob Alexander's Shock lands when I started as well. So
that's great.
It's like a love letter for modern when I started in like playing modern, and I just want to like capture that in a cube, which is another cool thing about cube. So yeah, that's another project I'm slowly working on, and it's just going to be old school modern.
That's very fun. That's the kind of modern that I was too late to join the party at.
Yeah.
But if that modern was still viable today, I'd be like, no, I'm cashing in. Let's get into this. I would eat up a format like that. Like I'd lose a ton, because again, not a very patient player, but I would love to dive into a pre-modern horizons format like this. Like, oh my God, would that be fun? Just the idea that now it is, you know, not to get too soapboxy, man, modern should not have been a rotatable format. I think that's a crazy.
It's really scary to me to realize that modern has a quicker rotation cadence than standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's bad as an eternal format.
That's not good.
When someone said that to me, I was like, holy moly. I'm like, wow, that is opened my eyes in a way that I didn't think was possible. But no, that's going to be my next project, a little modern cube.
That's fun.
Going to be proper, like that is like a peak vibes cube. Like, I'm very intentional with like the card printings and stuff like that, because I want people to get nostalgic for it. Or, you know, if someone new to Magic comes going, you know, what the hell's a Snapcaster Mage? I don't know what this is. And it's like, oh, and I can tell you the story about Snapcaster Mage and how it was integral and modern, and how it's, you know, an invitational card from this person, and so and so forth. And it's a really good way to break ice and for people to learn more about the game, especially when you've got like your Universes Beyond crowd that are coming in now, and they have no clue what a Nardu winged wisdom is. They just see the Assassin's Creed cards going, yeah, Assassin's Creed's great. Here I am.
Yeah. That's fun as hell. I can't wait to see you post Pack One Pick One tweets about it, and I'm going to be all over it. That's so fun. Well, Emma, I think that'll take us to the end of the call before we head over to see Morgan about whether or not you're the bolus for your opinion on Cyclonic Rift and time management. But before we get out of here, Emma, once again, do you mind telling folks where they could follow you, what you want their attention to turn to, and where to go?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Emma D. Partlow. If you're interested in any reading of any of my content, I do have a link tree on my Twitter bio that has my like TCG player link. It has my cube list. So if you want to look at either of my cubes, they're all there. There's the Herald Horn stuff as well. So if you want to listen to Herald Horn, which is a podcast I'm a co-host on with Cal Jones and Mod Annan, please do. It's like bi-weekly at the moment, but we're hoping for it to be weekly at some point. And that podcast is more about just general magic news because the schedule is brutal and we figure it's really cool just to try and help people be on top of that.
Hell yeah. Well, make sure to follow Emma on socials and listen to Herald Horn and check out her work. It's time to check back in with the guys and gals in the booth and what they have to say about Emma's pet peeve. Let's get it. What a delight it is to chat with Emma Partlow. Thank you so much for calling in, Emma. Everybody, go ahead and follow Emma on Twitter and on Blue Sky. Probably prioritizing Blue Sky given the way Twitter's been going. What a champ. Check out the Herald's Horn. Any project of Emma's is a project we endorse. Please go give Emma a follow on all platforms and a shout out to being just such a fun hang. That was a long call. And you know what? Worth every minute. So thank you again, Emma. In between the call and just now, look what I found, Morgan Sanchez. I found that think tank.
That's not an octopus in that art.
No, it is a cephalid, and how dare you say otherwise. Apparently I had it in a pile that I set aside of stuff to send out to people. So I just forgot that I already set it aside for you. So think tank, come into Morgan Sanchez. Before we get too deep on this, let's talk about how we come to vote on whether or not a guest is the bolus. Morgan, do you mind breaking this down for people?
Yes. So mathematically speaking, my vote will count for one and Kuroz's vote will count for three.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's right. So I get a pretty big say in whether or not someone is the bolus. And Morgan, how would you phrase it for Emma? What's Emma really asking?
Emma Partlow wants to know, am I the bolus for thinking that commander players do not play to win the game?
Interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting. The example used is Cyclonic Rift, right? So, Morgan, do you want to kick us off here? Do you want to have a chat with me about this? Do you want to start this off?
Yeah. You know, I can kind of agree. This, as phrased by an ancient scholar, context matters in this situation.
How dare you?
And really, I would say, I'm just going to go out and say, and then show my work later. I'm going to say that Emma's not the bolus for thinking this. And the reason is because I'm 110% there with the fact that, so I just played a game of Commander 2 weeks ago at a brewery. We have like a Commander night with a local game store, met a bunch of really cool people. And I mean, the best pod mates I could ever ask for, right? Power level was great.
Just a good time.
It was really just nice, fantastic. But guess what? Guess how long we were playing that game. All right. And I went in there with
hours?
I went in there with the idea of thinking like, I'm going to get two games in, you know, from 6 to 10 p.m. Two Ooh. Games. Perfect. Right.
Ooh.
I played one game that entire night from 6 to 10 p.m. Because of Cyclonic
all four
Rift.
Hours?
Yes.
4 hours?
One game.
Oh my God, we took about an hour break
to eat. So, I mean, you know, it was technically a 3 hour game, you know, give
Still
or take
3 hours with is some a long game
with some chit chatness. Right. And sure. I mean, it's one of those things that I think I've said before. If you're going to restart the game, just play another game. Just end it. Like if you don't have something to follow up that the rift and say, boom, bam, 800 damage to the face. Next game, like just wrap it up or don't play it. Just keep going.
This is well-trod territory because we We've talked about this pet peeve before, right? We've talked about with Angelo, with CCO Brando, with more
Jason
than
Alt,
that even.
Even
Jason Alt with the farewell. We've talked about, it's come up on in the column. You know, am I the bolus for hating farewell? Shout out to Jason Alt. Am I the bolus for playing mass land destruction without a plan? Shout out to the sweet angel that we talked about, Brandon, at the live show. If you haven't listened to the live show episode, I really recommend listening to Hot Pepsi Armageddon, because what an episode that was at Commander Sealed. But all that said, this is stuff that we've discussed, right? We've talked about the idea of, like, if you're playing Cyclonic Rift defensively and you're not really, you don't have a plan to follow up and take the win, you're really saying, let's add 40 minutes to this game.
Emma put it very well when she said, it's an emergency button. You're not playing Cyclonic Rift to win. You're playing it so that you don't lose.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm a big fan of a Cyclonic Rift to win. You know, the places that I used to play Cyclonic Rift, and let's just say I don't play Cyclonic Rift anymore. Do I have two on my desk right now? Absolutely. About to list them on cardsphere.com. Straight up, Cyclonic Rift is not a card that I like playing anymore. It's the one that I don't enjoy. People groan at it all the time. But when I would play it, for the most part, I'm playing it to take the win. You know, I've got my... I took apart the deck, but I had Aromi of the Dead Tide, where it's an encore deck, so I'd make sure there's no more blockers by Cyclonic Rifting and pull something out, and then it's time to take the win. It's time to go hard, you know? So that said... you know, it just sucks is what it is. It's like, it after, say, like an hour and a half, depending on the playgroup, this is kind of what we do. After like an hour and a half, we decide maybe that board wipe is has cycling one.
Yeah,
maybe that's a fun way to play this, you know. So like, I, you know, Dan Sheehan and I have talked about this a bunch in our friendship Discord with other pals, being like, I hate a game that's going so long. Because we especially are enfranchised players. Like it or not, if you're listening to this podcast, you're considered an enfranchised player. You have gone beyond just the purchase of the game and playing it. If you've bought sleeves for your cards, enfranchised player.
Absolutely.
Guess what? The bar is that low. So the idea is, if you're listening to this, then you should know that, like, as an enfranchised player, to the degree that I am and my playgroup is and my friends are, we have multiple decks. We spend a lot of time building these decks, and the way life is, we do not get much time to play these games. We don't get a lot of time to play with our friends all that much, you know, as much as we want to. And we have, oh, I have like three new decks and I want to play them all. Well, I'm playing this one new deck tonight because somebody decided that playing Cyclonic Rift over and over again was a good time, or we're in Board Wipe City and we're in hour three. No. 90 minutes in, quit the board wipe. Somebody take the win. Let's go to another game and play another deck. This is something that we've discussed many times. However, when it comes to Emma saying Commander players don't go for the win, I get that. And I also think that that's, I think it's fair, and also a little, it's a little spiky. It's a little prickly of a sentiment, because no matter what you do in Commander, at some point or another, you're going to win. Like, if you do something that takes a lot of actions enough, you're going to win. Unless that is drawing your entire library and, you know, dying to not being able to draw something from your library, right? The idea is that at some point you'll do enough. Like, I play a lot of Aristocrats decks, and if I have an 8-card combo loop that drains the table for one life every action I take, at some point I will win that game, right? That's how that goes. That's just how it goes. But am I playing to win? No, I'm playing for the engine to do the fun thing. That's what I enjoy.
Well, that's what's tough, though, is that, yeah, with the reset, and this is another thing that Emma touched on of having to reset. This was really tough for my squirrel deck, right? When you get to a point where I don't have Chitter Spitter anymore. But I have other things I can play. I can play this, I can
you
play that.
You love Chitter Spitter.
No, you can't play that either. And I'm like, okay, I'm just casting like a really bad like sorcery to make two squirrel tokens that I can't buff, that aren't unblockable and are just 1/1s here on turn 50. Like, it doesn't, if anything, it slows it down. It's not even just a reset. Mm-hmm. It's basically like slowing it down so much, getting rid of your engine, and then being like, okay, well, I have 60, 70, whatever more cards in my deck, but God knows you're just going to be drawing lands for the next five turns and having nothing to play by that time, right? It's really frustrating.
Here's the thing for me is that Cyclonic Rift, of all of these effects, is the most palatable of the effect.
Yep.
If I'm being real, if you play Cyclonic Rift to get rid of your opponent's stuff, even defensively, you should have enough on the board to still have an advantage that allows you to pull forward. And at least if you take it there and you move in that direction and you make some meaningful plays that take you above and beyond, and maybe you knock somebody out of the game, or you
just gain some advantage,
yeah,
at all.
But even then, what happens is somebody's like nuked the board, rebuilt something, and then they decide, well, I'm going to attack this guy, and then that guy's got Cyclonic Rift, and then nobody's got anything, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, hey, yep. I'm playing my like Auras token deck. I've played Heroic Intervention. Now I'm going to play Wrath of God, and I'm going to attack at all my opponents with exactly enough to kill everybody. And then nobody's got anything else on board except one guy's got seven mana and plays Cyclonic Rift. And then, well,
nothing. Pass the turn. Okay. Pass the turn. That's pass what happens after you play Cyclonic Rift. It's yeah. Pass the turn.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're like, great.
Thanks.
Now we're starting over.
Yes.
So it is a matter of like how Jason put it, respecting your pal's time. You know, you want to be able to have a good time. And if you're eliciting more eye rolls and groans than high fives and, oh, that's six, you're not, it's not great, but if that's the play style you play, it is technically valid. You know, you're like, legally speaking, you can play the cards. You just might not have that many people you could play against.
That's the thing with any of these, right? Like I can do whatever I want. Of course you can. No, nobody is telling you can't do the thing. Just all we're doing is gesturing you toward the other thing that is probably better and more friendly and less. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Cyclonic Rift, pass the turn. Armageddon, pass the turn. You know what I mean? Like things like that. Like being proactive and having fun in a game means to do stuff. Do stuff. That's it.
We're not saying you can't. We're just saying that after this game is done, I'm going to go get a sandwich and cool down. You know, that's what that is. It's like, oh, okay,
bless.
I'm going to need to go chill somewhere. So with all that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and say, Emma, not the bolus, but your phrasing is a little prickly.
A little bolus-y.
Commander players don't play to win. Uh-oh. That's fair. I don't play to win. So not the bolus. I think the best way for people who feel like me that like winning the game is not as important, having benchmarks to hit makes the experience a lot more fun for you, and you'll feel like you walked away with a win anyway. I always bring this up because AD is what a gem. Another episode to revisit besides the live one. AD DeFazio came in asking if he was the Bing Bong Bolus for building weirdo decks, and he has this Guillaume MasterChef deck where his goal is to, quote, feed 10 creatures, and Guillaume's ability allows you to sacrifice a food to tap down a creature and give it indestructible. So essentially feeding a creature to keep it alive for the turn, but making it so full it needs a little nap. You know, isn't that fun flavor?
Beautiful.
So if you get to do that 10 times, you feel like a winner, even if you lose at like negative 60 life. It doesn't matter. You're a winner in another way. Anyway, that's fun. I do want to say, not the bolus, first of all, Emma, thank you so much again for calling in. Before moving on to this next topic that I'm really excited about, Emma talked a lot about Cube and said it's the best format in Magic. And I just want to say, the more I play Cube, the more I'm inclined to agree. And I have been dabbling with a Cube idea. And once that's ready, I'm throwing the whole list online and hoping people just send me the cards that I need. And I'm kind of like, what kind of cube would you build? I'll tell you what I would build. I'm a big Theros guy. I love enchantments and I love enchantment sets. And so I think Theros is such a cool plane. And I think there's so much going on there. But if I had to do a commander cube, I would also lean towards like an enchantment heavy deck, heavy cube, despite a lot of that stuff being in the white, black, blue space. You know, I think there's a lot of Selesnya Enchantress stuff, or like Simic or Bant, or you know, it seems centered in green despite it feeling extremely white. What about you, Morgan? If you had to build a cube, where would you lean? All cephalids?
All cephalids. Well, you know, I was actually thinking about it because, like, the cube is a labor of love, like you mentioned with Emma, and it's something that I have on the docket to do at some point. But I really want, like the things that stick with you from my early times in Magic was like demons, nightmares, and horrors. So
yeah.
I do like an all mono black cube would be crazy to me, with just like the nastiest art of all time, like, you know, like old stuff, new stuff, in between. Like, I feel like there's just
guilt feeder.
There's a gaggle, master of cruelties. So like, I don't know, something like,
yeah.
Master of agonies or what. There's so many demons and like cool evil guys. I want to do like a cool evil guy cube, but no vampires, like not something like Innistrad-y, like really demonic and like,
yeah,
very black coated, color coded, demonic exactly. nastiness.
The Duskmourne nightmares make the cut based on vibes alone.
Oh yeah, vibes alone.
I love
cube
that.
Is all vibes, and that's what I think makes it fun. I've only played cube like a handful of times. I played with Andy Flory's cube at Commandy Fest 2024. another Space Cow employee, Andy Zupke, shout out. He is the editor of Card Gamer and Card Sphere as well. He has a cool little fun get together called Commandy Fest, where everybody gets together and we'll play cube, we'll play commander. And I was like, the joy that came from getting my first, I was just like, oh my God. Like, oh, like this card, you know, when you get like a good draft, like a good booster and you're just like, but it was like that with every single card in Andy's
card.
And that, I love
but
that
that's how
for it, Magic. It's just like, what? Like everything's just fun and happy.
We talked about it with Angelo too. His Innistrad cube is the exact same way.
His Innistrad cube is famous. World famous Innistrad cube, by the way. Angelo is a god when it comes to this stuff.
The Jess guy. Check out the Jess guy, like Jesguy on Cube Cobra for his cube. And go ahead and pull a pack one, pick one, and see. Do like simulate a draft with that thing and tell me you're not having the time of your life.
Yep.
Excuse me, you liar. You're having the best time. There's no way you can't. I also think that with cube comes a lot of innovation with the space of Magic. I saw somewhere that there's like 100 Ornithopter cube, where the idea is that you are you're drafting and the only creatures are Ornithopter. And
beautiful.
So you're playing Ornithopters. There's removal, of course, but it's Ornithopters and auras and combat tricks, and that's it. That's the cube. And it honestly, it sounds like a banger. I've only seen people online post about it. I've only seen like sample hands and sample drafts. What a fun time that is. And that's like another example of a cool thing that's happening. There's a Descent into Invernus cube that folks from KubeCon brought down with them to Commander's Field that I watched happen twice.
Oh, man.
Everybody starts with a Descent into Invernus in play that cannot be destroyed. So every turn. So the idea is you start at like 100 something life because you're losing so much, and then it's just a bunch of treasure combos. It's gorgeous. Cube is a really, really fun way to flex your creative muscle and to undertake like a bigger project than a single commander deck. And it is something that I think I'm going to dedicate some time to, especially when the snow starts to fall and I don't have many places to go outside. But I will say, Morgan, we've been dragging this one long for a little bit. Sorry to our listeners who expect an hour long episode and getting an hour and a half. Ken, thank you for editing this down for us, and as always for editing all together. Morgan, where can people find you? What do you want them to check out?
I am still on the website currently known as Twitter at Indigo Gentleman, and just check out all of our awesome articles at Commander's Herald and EDH Rec if you need some inspiration for Commander. We have a lot of really cool writers there, budget stuff, thematic stuff, everything. Go check it out.
Everything. A lot of great writers over at Commander's Herald and EDH Rec. You can check me out on commandersherald.com. My series, Am I the Bolus? The series that this podcast is based on, where people write in and ask whether or not they are the villain of their story. And I weigh in on the topic at hand. I've got one that came out last week by a longtime reader that I'm very excited about. So please go back and check that one out. There should be a new article out tomorrow, even. And if you still feel in the Halloween spirit, go back and read my article about the Saw franchise and the color identity of characters from Saw. Check out our referral link to cardsphere.com in the description of this podcast. If you sign up using our link, it lets them know that we sent you, and that helps a lot. It really, really does. It lets people know that we mean business. We are business people. And furthermore, I am a stand-up comedian. You could check out my stand-up comedy online. You could just Google me, Mike Carrozza, M-I-K-E-C-A-R-R-O-Z-Z-A, at Mike Carrozza on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. Check me out online. Check out my album, Cherubic, my Just for Laughs performances, my anything you can check out that's online, I've left up there, or, you know, I've put up there. So enjoy that. If you do, let me know. It means a lot to me, especially in the gloomier months. I think that takes us to the end of this. Morgan, do you have anything else to say?
Goodbye.
All right, let's scoot the day. Good night, everybody. Take care.